Good morning.
Our scripture reading today is Acts 22, 6 through 10. But it happened that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting." And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Get up and go on to Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this scripture reading this morning. Lord, we ask that you be with Pastor Craig as he delivers it this morning, and we just ask that you open our hearts and minds as he delivers this message. We say these things in your name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Brad. We are continuing our study through Acts. This morning we come to Acts chapter 22, and we're going to go through the whole chapter. What Brad read is kind of a summary of Paul's testimony, but we're going to look at the things that surround that this morning. We ended last week on a little bit of a cliffhanger, if you remember. Paul had been warned about the danger that he would face if he went to Jerusalem. Paul went to Jerusalem anyway, and in a short amount of time, some false accusations were made against him, and the Jews in that city came against Paul. Paul was seized, he was beaten, but before they could kill him, the Romans stepped in and took him into custody. And as they were taking Paul away, he requested an opportunity to address this hostile crowd. And we read this in verse 40 of chapter 21. It says, "So when he had given him permission, Paul stood on the stairs and motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great silence, he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, saying," and that's where we ended last week. This morning, though, we get to hear Paul's story. We get to hear, he's going to describe to this audience who he is, what has happened to him, and why he is doing what he is doing right now, why he is in Jerusalem, what's going on in his life. And Paul really is going to share with them His testimony. He's going to share his journey from sin to salvation. That's what he's going to share. It's kind of interesting to me sometimes as I discover principles or methods or even tactics sometimes that the world uses and incorporates into worldly things. And I think oftentimes, some of these methods, and let me just say this, I have found some that I believe originated in Scripture. We're going to see one here in a minute. But I think oftentimes as the world uses these methods or principles or whatever, they don't even understand that what they're doing may have its origin in Scripture. And one such technique or method or principle is the feel, felt, found method. Are you familiar with that? It's kind of a sales or marketing terminology that helps a salesman relate to whoever he's talking to. He will tell them, "You know, I know exactly how you feel. I felt the same way." And then he tells them, "This is what I found." And he shares with them this gadget that's going to solve all of their problems. All right. Well, I actually believe that principle or method has its origin in the scriptures. And while the marketing and sales industry might cheapen this or even abuse it at times, I do believe that it is a common method for sharing a testimony of salvation, for sharing with others that we came from the same place that they did. But now I'm in a different place altogether. So I know where you're coming from. I know how you feel. I felt the exact same way. But this is what I found. Listen to what I've found now. And then he shares with them, I am a sinner and Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's interesting as well today that we come to a passage. We're going through the book of Acts here pretty systematically. And we come to really Paul's story, Paul's journey. And it's interesting that Matt had the opportunity to share his story this morning in Sunday school. But sharing our testimony of salvation is very much like describing a journey from one place to another for the purpose of showing others how to get there as well. All right? And that's really what we're going to find in Acts chapter 22. We're going to look at Paul's journey this morning. And with that, let's go ahead and read the first five verses of chapter 22 now. He says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders from whom I received letters to Jerusalem and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished." First of all, Paul spoke about his past. He spoke of his past. He showed them that he was in, at one time, the exact same frame of mind as these people he was now addressing. These Jewish people who wanted him arrested, actually wanted him killed. He said, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. The first 27 years of my life, I spent thinking I knew God. I believed in God. I believed that Jesus Christ lived 2,000 years ago. I believed that he died on the cross for the sins of man. I believed that he was raised from the dead. I believed that heaven was a place that people went after they died, if they were good and if they were bad. Well, I didn't want to think about that too much. I didn't want to think of that. Because I pretty much did what I wanted to do, and I lived really for myself. My life revolved around Craig, okay? And if obtaining those things that I wanted involved indulging, involved lying, involved cheating, or even involved justifying all of the above, I did it. That was me. I thought, and really what I thought was, it was all on a scale. And certainly, I'm a good person, and certainly, no matter what I do over here, these good things in the end, they're going to outweigh the bad things that I did. That was me. That's what I thought. Well, how did Paul reveal his past, and what did he reveal about his past? Well, first of all, he described who he was. He described who he was. Paul wanted to let this crowd know that he came from the exact same place, physically, spiritually, and even mentally, that this crowd was at right now. He said, I'm one of you. I'm one of you. He even spoke to them in the common Hebrew language to capture their attention. Now, there was a trade language all through the Roman Empire, which was Greek. Okay, but the Jews themselves, the Hebrews, actually spoke Aramaic. So when he addressed this crowd, he spoke to them in their common language. Their common language. It caught their attention. And he said, I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew. I was born far from here in Tarsus, but I was raised right here in Jerusalem. In fact, I studied under the great rabbi Gamaliel. And everybody would have known who that is. It's like Bill Gates today, okay? Everybody would have known who Gamaliel was. He says, I was taught the strictness of the law, and I abided by it. I was zealous toward God, just like you are today. Being zealous is being passionate in pursuit of something. And listen to what Paul said to his Jewish brothers, or about his Jewish brothers, in Romans 10:2. He says, for I bear them witness. Now, before I read the rest of that verse, listen to what he's saying. For I bear them witness. He's saying, I know about them because this is exactly who I was. This is exactly who I was. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. I was zealous toward God, just like you are today, but it was not according to the knowledge that God has revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. He described who He was to relate to his audience. Secondly, he described what he did. He said, I persecuted the sect known as the Way. Now, here again, we find this title again, the Way. And that is a title that was the Christian church was referred to because that is what they were sharing. They were sharing the way to eternal life in heaven. And it mirrors the words of Jesus himself in John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Paul said, I persecuted that sect known as the Way. I arrested both men and women. I had them beaten and even killed. I had letters of permission from the high priests and elders. And what's interesting here is this crowd that he's addressing right now probably contains some of the priests and elders that gave him those letters to go to Damascus, capture the Christians, and bring them back to Jerusalem to be punished. And at this point in time, if they hadn't caught on already, there would have been many in that crowd that would be saying, oh, that's Saul of Tarsus. I remember him. He was the one who was bringing in chains all the Christians. And again, he related to them. He described what he did to relate to his audience, and he basically, by implication, told them, I did to others exactly what you're doing to me right now. I know how you feel. I felt the same way. Just like I was guilty, you're guilty. When we share our testimony of salvation, I believe that as we share the sin and guilt of our past mindset and our actions, by implication, the hearers can understand their own sin and guilt as well. While I do think that sometimes there is a place and time to point out the sin of others, as we share our testimony of salvation, we can imply that by simply revealing our own sin and guilt. Paul shared his testimony. He spoke of the past. He spoke of the past. Secondly, this morning, he spoke of his passage. he spoke of his passage, and that is from sin to salvation. I remember mine vividly. I was a Christian by name. I considered myself a believer in the historic Jesus, but I got to tell you, I wasn't so sure about those fanatical Christians. You know, the ones that all they do is they sing about and talk about Jesus and God all the time, especially those ones that call themselves born again. Oh boy, I'll tell you, I wondered about them, okay? Well, imagine my surprise when I found out that Jesus actually said in John chapter 3, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Wow, wow. I had no idea that was even in the Bible. I had no idea. I was equally shocked to learn that a man must be perfect to enter heaven. I thought, well, I'm disqualified, and so is everybody else that I know. Because even if I lived perfect from this point forward, I've still got that point backward that I messed up. So perfection is out of the question. And I couldn't believe it. But someone then shared with me a verse that at that point in time, I think I'd heard it before, but I wasn't sure. And they shared with me John 3:16. "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." But then they even took it one step further, and that person did something very, very special with that verse. He put my name in it, and he said this: "God so loved Craig that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Craig would only believe in him, Craig would not perish but have everlasting life." And that day, I understood that the death of Christ was not just some historical event that happened a long time ago, but what Jesus did on the cross, he did for me, for my sins. That day, I understood that heaven had never been earnable. I learned that no place in the Bible does it say that we can earn merit with God toward eternal life. But it could only be obtained through personal faith in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And that day, I decidedly put the full weight of my trust, not in me, not in the things that I did, but in Jesus Christ alone. And I was born spiritually. I was born again. Born again. Now I was a child of God. Heaven was not mine until that event, that understanding, and that change of mind. I went from sin to salvation in that day. Well, the road to Damascus not only took Paul from Jerusalem or Damascus to Jerusalem or back and forth, but it took Paul from sin to salvation. He described what had happened, and we read that in verses 6 and 7. "Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" Here he is on his way to Damascus to round up and persecute some more Christians. Paul was stopped right in his tracks by this event. A great light from heaven shone around him, and Paul is really recounting exactly where he was and what he was doing at that moment. So he described what happened. He described what he heard. "I heard a voice say to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" And even though Paul did not know it, probably didn't know it in that very instant, it was the very word of God that was convicting him. So we asked this in verse 8. He said, "So I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. He described what happened, he described what he heard, and then he described what he now understood. Here are some things that Paul would have understood in this very moment. He now understood that Jesus was alive. He was alive. He really did die on that cross. He really was buried, but apparently he really did rise from the dead and ascend into heaven because he's speaking to me from there right now. So he understood that Jesus was alive. He understood that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus had accomplished what the Scripture said about the suffering Messiah. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of the suffering Messiah. He fulfilled the predictions of the compassionate healer. He fulfilled God's plan of redemption from sin through the lamb led to the slaughter. And he now understood that he needed to change his whole way of thinking. In this moment, he realized that while he thought he was close to God, he was actually very far away. He thought his zeal for his religion and the things that he was doing was pleasing God. But God himself equated Paul's lack of understanding with a personal attack. Why are you persecuting me? Paul described what he understood. He also described what had changed, verses 9 and 10. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do." In that moment of understanding, Paul changed his mind. He changed his mind. Instead of seeing Jesus as a fraud, he saw him as God's son. Instead of seeing him as a dead sect leader, he now saw him as a living savior. He changed his mind. He changed his faith. Instead of a faith based on merit and works to earn favor with God, he put the full weight of his trust in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. In fact, Paul later wrote, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, he said, "For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." And in Romans 3, 20, he says, "For by the deeds of the law no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." And then in Romans 1:16, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes." Paul changed his faith. Paul changed his focus as well. Verses 11 through 16. "And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came to Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I looked up at him. Then he said, 'The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see the Just One and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord.'" Thirdly, this morning, Paul spoke of his purpose. I read too far. No, I didn't. I read just right. Never mind. No, scratch what I just said. Paul changed his focus. Where Paul's focus had been the destruction of the way, God had now called him to be a constructor of the way. And Paul immediately identified himself as one of the way, and he did that through baptism. just on a technical note here. Unfortunately, as we translate what was written in Greek into English, sometimes words get changed just a little bit. Not changed, but because their noun-to-verb structure is different than our noun-to-verb structure, it comes across the English slightly different than it is in the Greek. So I'm saying all that because verse 16 does get messed up a little bit. Here's how it could read. "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized because you washed away your sins, having called on the name of the Lord." In the Greek, the first half of the verse, I believe, is in the past tense. The second half, or present tense, second half in the past tense. Anyway, all that to say, we learn that Paul did. He was baptized here. He changed his focus from being against the way to becoming one of them. As we have opportunity to share our testimony of salvation, it is important that we share the guilt of our past. But even more importantly is that we share the events that helped us to understand the truth about who Jesus Christ is. And the fact that we had to change our mind about Him and place the full weight of our trust in Him. Typically, there is a defining moment in one's life when, boom, the light comes on and we understand. And then all of a sudden, we pass from seeing Jesus as just a mere man from history to seeing Him as God in human flesh. From seeing Him as one of many to the one and only. From seeing Him as a dead teacher from the past to a living Savior right now. And at that moment, we pass from death into life. In fact, Jesus Himself said in John 5:24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed already from death unto life." Paul spoke of his past. Paul spoke of his passage. And then thirdly, Paul spoke of his purpose. He spoke of his purpose. Look at verses 17 through 21. "Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, that I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me.' So I said, 'Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe in you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him.' Then he said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" Paul spoke of his purpose. Now, I didn't realize this until I was actually preparing this message. But this month, January, marks my 19th year since spiritual birth. Happy birthday, Craig. Oh, well, thank you. However, 20 years ago, I would have never believed that I would become one of those born-again Christians. Okay? And I certainly would have never believed that God would call me to be a pastor. To this day, I am still in awe of that. Yet, at the same time, with the good things and the trials, there is nothing on the face of the planet that I would rather be doing than what I am doing right now. Nothing. Paul spoke of his purpose as well. He described his purpose. Now, from other portions of Scripture, we learn that it was about 3 years between Damascus and in his this portion in beginning with verse 17, where he's in Jerusalem now praying, and the Lord spoke to him again. About 3 years have passed. And it was here, as he came back, the Lord spoke to him again and told him, "Get out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me." And we got to remember where Paul is as he's relating this story. He's standing before a crowd of Jews, and it makes me wonder how pointedly he is saying or repeating what the Lord had told him. "They're not going to receive your testimony concerning me." Okay, but Paul argued with the Lord. Going back to this account now, he said, "Surely they will listen to me, Lord. I was one of them. I was the one who imprisoned and beat the Christians. I was the one who stood by and watched as Stephen was stoned to death for his faith. Right here in Jerusalem it all took place. Surely when they see the change in me, they will believe on you, Lord." Hint. Hint, you crowd that I'm addressing right now. Surely you would believe in him. But they didn't. "So God sent me," he said, "to the Gentiles instead." Paul described his purpose and then he acted upon his purpose. Look at verse 22 here. It says, "And they listened to him until this word, and then they raised their voices, said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live.'" What word was it that sparked such disdain? We have to go to back verse 21. "Then he said to me, 'Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles.'" Paul's association with Gentiles is what caused this dispute in the first place. And the crowd was doing fine until Paul reminded them of why they were angry to begin with. Because of the Gentiles. The Jews, of course, did not like the Gentiles and couldn't stand the thought that God would make them part of his economy, part of his plan. Verses 23 through 29. "Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?' And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, 'Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman.' Then the commander came and said to him, 'Tell me, you are a Roman?' He said, 'Yes.' The commander answered, 'With a large sum I obtained this citizenship.' And Paul said, 'But I was born a citizen.' Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him." How did Paul act upon his purpose? Well, in that instant, upon this re-sparked uproar, Paul turned his attention from the Jewish people to the Gentiles, the Gentile soldiers, just as God had called them to do. These Roman soldiers now not only knew about Paul's Jewish heritage, but they also knew that he was a Roman citizen. Even apparently being born with it, that was better than the commander himself did. And he had a place. He related to them. "I know how you feel. I felt the same way." And from this point, Paul, because of this, is going to get opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with many Romans that are in leadership. Here's what I found. Paul did act on his purpose. He turned his attention from the Jewish crowd to the Gentile soldiers, and as a result, gained an audience, a huge audience. As we have opportunity to share our testimony, It doesn't end with our salvation, because God has saved us for a purpose. He has chosen us for a purpose. He has called us for a purpose. He has things that He wants to accomplish in us and through us. He has a story that He wants us to tell. So Paul not only spoke of his past, he not only spoke of his passage unto salvation, but he also spoke of his purpose. He shared that God wanted to use him, and he did it so that those who were listening would understand that God wants to use them too. Sharing our testimony of salvation is very much like describing a journey from one place to another so that others can find their way as well. And in closing, I want to emphasize what we've seen here this morning. Just point out a few more details, okay? As we share our testimony of salvation, number one, we must communicate our sinfulness without glorifying sin. Communicate our sinfulness without glorifying the sin. And I think that is best done by speaking of our sin and our guilt in general terms. We don't need to give every gory detail. We don't need to elaborate on every despicable thing we've ever done. In fact, here's a little test we can do. If we are telling stories about particular sins that we have committed, stories, mind you, we've probably gone too far. Paul spoke in generality. He says, I persecuted the way. I led them in chains to Jerusalem. I was guilty. I was guilty. Something else that I'll just quickly point out is Paul spent only two verses describing the sin of his past. However, he spent 10 verses speaking about his change of mind toward Jesus Christ. Communicate our sinfulness without glorifying the sin. Secondly, communicate our change of mind toward Jesus Christ. As we share our testimony, the majority of our time should be spent telling about the events that led us from a spiritual state a sinful state and worthless deeds to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ should be the focal point and central point of our testimony of salvation. Communicate our change of mind toward Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, communicate our purpose and how God is providing. Communicate our purpose and how God is providing. This does not mean telling people that after we trusted Christ, everything became perfect. Imagine if Paul would have did that, if he would have done that. They could say, well, why is everybody against you and you're in chains now? Everything's perfect, huh? No. We need to communicate our purpose and how God is providing. We could share through both the good things and the trials what God has been doing, how He's been working, some of the areas in which God is yet transforming us, some of the areas in which we have grown. Communicate our purpose and how God is providing, because sharing our testimony is very much like describing a journey from one place to another so we can help others find their way as well. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this account of Paul. And Lord, we thank you as well that this account is actually described to us three different times in the book of Acts alone. And we thank you for the second one this morning, and really through Paul giving us a model of how we might communicate our journey to others. Lord, I do pray that you would just instill in us the desire to do that if we haven't. And Lord, as we do it, just keep in mind that the reason we are doing it is to help others find their way as well. And we thank you just for your word this morning and what it has taught us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
One of the